This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Adikand and Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
So what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade Hingadena. On today's show, we have Emma Needham, Ruth Buffalo, Red Dawn, Mary Kunish Podine, Nancy Bolio, Uncle Curtis, Wendy Pilot, and Winona LaDuke. Let's take a quick listen to the news of this week.
Buju, Amanidam, Indigenakaz, Ogamaganuikwe, Indigu, Wawasizi, Indudam. I'm called Amanidam. My ancestors know me as Strong Eagle Woman. I am from the Bullhead Clan. I am a descendant currently seeking enrollment with Miskwagamewe Zakagan, or Red Lake Nation. Please excuse me, more fluent speakers, if I mispronounced anything. I am still learning. Today is Saturday, August 15th of 2020, and I'm here with Native Roots Radio with some news and updates from Turtle Island this week. In national politics, the U.S. Senate left session on Tuesday after talks broke down. Notable points in which agreements could not be reached include how much weekly unemployment benefits should be, how much money to give the state and local governments, what protections could be for businesses that do open back up, as well as school funding, both the amount and how it is divided up, are all left undecided. The Senate is expected to reconvene on September 8th. In news of other federal funding, the federal government announced that 23 federally recognized tribes and Alaskan nations and two Navajo communities would receive portions of the National Tribal Broadband Grant. The grant will allow for tribes to hire third-party consultants to research the potential deployment or expansion of broadband access. The options include digital subscriber line or DSL, cable modem, fiber, wireless, satellite, and broadband over power lines or BPL style. Grants were awarded based on potential positive impacts broadband could bring to an applicant's community, according to a press release quoted by Native News Online. 55 applications were received for the program, which opened in February and closed in June. The Bureau of Indian Affairs Assistant Secretary Tara Katuk Sweeney said in a statement, "Broadband can dramatically improve the quality of life in American Indian and Alaska Native communities," adding that quick, convenient, and reliable access to the Internet is a modern necessity. Yet, tribes frequently find themselves on the wrong side of the digital divide. These grants are an important first step in bringing broadband to communities that sorely need them. A full list of the tribes awarded the grant is available on nativenewsonline.net. In other national news, videos are surfacing online of Boy Scouts engaging in mock Native ceremonies and dances as part of their Scout training. The videos depict Boy Scouts dressed up in fake regalia and feathers while dancing around and chanting. The Scout leaders often refer to themselves as shaman during these activities. Members of the Boy Scout community have said that the ceremonies and regalia honor Native American culture and have maintained that for a very long time, even though Indigenous people have spoken out against it in the past. The Boy Scouts have honors programs such as the Tribe of Miccosé and the Order of the Arrow, which base some of their traditions in Native American culture. It's easy to fall into a rabbit hole of videos depicting young scouts dressed in Native American regalia and performing different ceremonies, said Vincent Schilling, a Native American journalist who wrote a six-part series in 2019 for Indian Country Today on this subject. His articles were published, and many of his Native friends told him they hadn't known about the ceremonies that go on within the scouts. Many were appalled, Schilling told the Kansas City Star. He also said that he received no responses when he reached out to leaders and Boy Scout organizations across the country repeatedly through websites, email, phone, and social media for comment. Haskell Indian Nations University professor Jimmy Beeson researched appropriation in scouting and also told the Kansas City Star that scouting appropriated Native American practices and romanticized their way of life. Because Native American people were more focused on survival and also didn't have the same technology people do today, they likely hadn't spoken out against the practices, allowing them to spread and continue. While the scouts say they consult with Native American people and honor them, Beeson said the organization has never been transparent about what tribes or people they're speaking with and get defensive when questioned. The Boy Scouts of America released a statement in support of Black Lives Matter in June, following the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. BSA has also announced a new diversity and inclusion merit badge that would be required of all members attempting to become Eagle Scouts. The organization is still developing the badge, but said in a statement that it will, quote, build on components within existing merit badges, end quote, such as the American Cultures and Citizenship in the Community badge, which requires scouts to, quote, to learn about and engage with other groups and cultures to increase understanding and spur positive action, end quote. Other families interviewed by the Kansas City Star reported that they had pulled their children from scouting after attempting to get changes made within their own troops, and also report that the troops do not teach Native history, including the forced assimilation and genocide. In news of the Minnesota state primaries, Native candidates have much to celebrate for the 2020 election season. Heather Keeler, who is Yankton Sioux, won District 4A in Minnesota for the Moorhead area and joins Democrats Jamie Becker Finn, a Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe descendant, and Gaylene Spolarik of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa for November races for House seats. Becker Finn is an incumbent and Spolarik was uncontested and didn't have a primary. Democrats Alan Roy of White Earth Nation and Mary Kanesh Pudin, Standing Rock Sioux descendant, are seeking seats in the state Senate. Both ran uncontested for the party ticket and didn't have a primary. Kanesh Pudin is currently serving in the Minnesota House. Donna Bergstrom of Red Lake Nation ran uncontested in a Republican primary in District 7 for the state Senate. Liz Jacola of the Fond du Lac Band of Superior Chippewa appears to be one step closer to the Cloquet City Council. Jacola received nearly 49% of the vote in her three-person primary race, with the top two moving on to a runoff in November. She received 210 votes in the second place. Finisher received 117, according to the state results. If she wins in November, she'll join Sheila Lamb of White Earth Nation Eastern Cherokee on the city council. Lamb is a former college student of Jacola. Audrey Thayer of White Earth Nation received 50% of the vote for the Bemidji City Council Ward 1 seat. She received 153 votes as of August 13th. The five-person race that she was a part of for Bemidji City Council Ward 1 also included another Native woman, Laura Fairbanks of Red Lake Nation. Bemidji is the county's largest community. Ernest Joey Opgard Peltier of Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa unfortunately didn't receive enough votes for Ward 5 and will likely not be in November's council runoff. Christian Taylor Johnson, a Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe descendant, will also likely not advance for Beltrami County Commissioner District 5 seat. He was, as of the 13th, 39 votes behind the second place finisher. The top two vote-getters in the three-person race move on to a November runoff. In Wisconsin, two Ho-Chunk women ran unopposed in the Democratic primary. Trisha Zunker will be on the U.S. House District 7 ballot, and Amanda White Eagle will be on the State Assembly ballot for District 92. Also in news of our neighbors to the west, there will be 7 Native American delegates from South Dakota to participate in the 2020 Democratic National Convention. According to Ballotpedia.com, a delegate is an individual chosen to represent their state at their party's national nominating convention. They are typically party activists, local political leaders, or early supporters of a particular presidential candidate. They are either selected in primaries, caucuses, or local party conventions, or included because of their positions as elected representatives or members of the party leadership. Of the 28 delegates from South Dakota, 7 are Lakota tribal citizens, and they comprise 25% of the state's Democratic representation at the Democratic National Convention. That being said, Native Americans make up an estimated 9% of South Dakota's total population. With nearly 80,000 tribal citizens in the state, the Indian vote can truly impact local, state, and national races. Compared to Minnesota, only an estimated 1.1% of the total population is estimated to be Native American. Nationally, those who are Native American alone or in combination with other races are an estimated 4.86 million individuals, or 1.6% of the nation's entire population. The Native population does grow yearly, and the Census Bureau projects that American Indian and Alaska Natives will reach 5 million individuals by 2065. As a reminder, complete your census and make sure you get out and vote for the general election on November 3rd of 2020. As always, Miigwech, and thank you for tuning in to Native Roots Radio. Back to you, Wakunjahi.
Pinigigi Emma, for all your hard work for Native Roots Radio.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at mn350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week, we're honored and happy to have Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth on, speaking her truth. Welcome back, Winona.
Anin Bujou, thanks for having me back. Always glad to give an update from the deep north.
Right. I've been stealing that from time to time, especially since the political stuff that's been happening up there, calling it the deep north. I'll have to give you credit next time. So,
No credit needed. It is just the reality of the situation. But, you know, we did see some Native people get elected or get through the primaries really strong, strong showing, huh?
Yeah.
Congratulations, and she's got a really a well in her primary, and she's got a really a long history of community and civil, you know, advocacy. So I'm proud of her. And Liz Jackala over there at Cloquet as well, right?
Right, exactly. Very. We need to get involved in these smaller elections. They're not too small.
No, everything counts because, you know, Native people and, you know, people have just been sidelined for all these years. And Ms. Keeler also, she won her primary, right?
Big time, like 70, almost 70%. It's just amazing. I think she's got a great chance to be in our House of Representatives in St. Paul here.
Yeah, it really makes a difference when Native people vote and Native people are elected, and we need to be across the board and, you know, strong in our own tribal elections. The Whiter tribal election is on my birthday. That's next week on the 18th. And we got a couple of good candidates running. You know, you got Umzi Tibbetts, who's the incumbent, and Cheryl Jackson, really hardworking woman, many, many years, you know, working on a lot of things in our community. They're both up, and that's the 18th. So make sure people get out and vote. And then, of course, the medical marijuana initiative is up at Whiter's, and we could be a tribe working with Red Lake to kind of transition and begin kind of growing a local economy and maybe help address some of the opioid epidemic, because that's a big help. That's what they say. It's a really big help for opioid addicts. And I like to see those things. So 18th, get out and vote. It's my birthday if you're from White Earth. Oh, no, just get out and vote.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And in the meantime, Robert, you know, I have to say the governor also has a big decision to make for next week. Not even a big decision. What I'm trying to figure out is the Department of Commerce on the 19th needs to appeal again. This would be the third time that they would appeal the certificate of need for Enbridge's Line 3. Now, I know Enbridge in Minnesota for Line 3 has taken up lots of airspace. Geez, my Google search engine is covered with them, you know, and pressure, and they got mayors writing in. So people are writing in. We, you know, Lily Tomlin, I went, got to go on the set of Frankie and Grace. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda sent in their Stop Line 3. You know, this is a national, international issue. That's the equivalent of 50 new coal-fired power plants, that darn power, darn pipeline. And, you know, we've been fighting it for 7 years. The governor just needs to refile. And so I encourage people to write in, because why would it make more sense now than it did 7 years ago when they first started, or 4 years ago when they started with Line 3. Price of oil has dropped. And remember, Enbridge has cut its throughput by about 400,000 barrels a day, the equivalent of the present Line 3, more than the present Line 3. So it's quite clear they don't even need it. Just close it down. Be the company that cleans it up, shows us how you clean it up. You can, you know, they're talking about all the labor, 4,300. Who wants 4,300 people coming into northern Minnesota right now? Jeepers.
Yeah.
You know, that's dangerous. And there's way more jobs than 4,300 jobs in dismantling the old Line 3. And so we should be pushing for some new things. So Governor, please do the right thing one more time. Continue the course of a prudent state of Minnesota and oppose the certificate of need. Your filing date is next week, and I'm pleading you to stop a bad project and to keep peace in the North. Like, the thing is this is the opportunity for the governor. Such a good opportunity. Those Iron Range jobs are not coming back. The pipelines are fading. Green New Deal. This is your opportunity, Governor Walz, to be visionary and to make jobs that don't cause conflict. Conflict-free jobs in the North. In fact, making good jobs, manufacturing stuff we need. Jeepers, you know? We know that. I mean, Kent, half the stuff we buy is from overseas. Exactly. 80% of, like, the wind turbine, solar panels. 75% of our pharmaceuticals. Time to make stuff at home. Let's rebuild Minnesota. Proud. Exactly. Anyway, that's my go, Governor M. Brass. We've been doing it up north.
Yeah. I saw that beautiful building that you painted up there. You want to talk a little bit about what you threw on the roof there, too?
Yeah. So, I mean, so first, I just want to say the Pine Point projects, they're about 50-year-old housing stock, you know, and a lot of people live in them. They need a lot of help, but we just started painting them because they got tagged up. And we got another Terry LeDuc crafted a beautiful piece of art for us. And we had a group of kids out there painting it, you know, and all socially distanced murals did good. And then, we worked with Aaron Keyser and some other young men in a job program, to put two solar thermal panels on Chief Store in Pine Point this week too. Solar thermal panels are going to save about 20% of the heating bill of that little store. Just y'all watch. Mm-hmm. But those solar thermal panels, we're selling them across the country, and we're encouraging people before winter sets in and you remember how darn cold you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your solar thermal panel. Eighth Fire Solar. So proud this week at White Earth. You know, we're doing the Green New Deal up there. You know, I don't know what you're doing the rest of the state, but we want to put in some more solar and of course, the crops are going. My cornfields are different sizes. Some is hip, some is shoulder. My traditional cornfields, and my hemp is growing. My hemp is growing. It's going good.
That's awesome. So we got elections coming up. We need to be counted. The Republican-led Senate has made it the president has made it a shorter time to sign up for census now, a month shorter. So we got to really get out there, don't we, Winona?
Oh my gosh, get out there and get counted, people. We're going to do a double, triple push on White Earth. I don't want to say I'm going to be driving around myself, but I probably will. Make sure all of my relatives sign up. We signed up about 40 people to get their absentee ballots or to vote already, like in one day. And we're just going to keep rolling it. But people, let's get our people out to vote and get our people counted in the census. You know, it's time. If you are not counted, you're not at the table. That's the way that one's going to go. And, so just remember, you know, we got this shot to be epic. Take it.
Exactly.
Epic time, you know, and we'll do our best. I mean, look at this. That idols are falling, you know, change across this country is happening. And so be the change. I'm excited. And the rice looks good. I'm actually going to go do a little road trip here. Going to go look at the proposed pipeline route this weekend and also look at our rice, because our rice is coming in good across the North.
Uh-huh.
It looks good here. It looks good here in the 1855. Looks very good. And White Earth looks very good. I was at Big Rice Lake yesterday. Full of rice.
Awesome.
Full of rice. So all you Indians in the cities, come home and get yourself some rice.
Uh-huh.
Let's go knock some rice. Don't do it early, though. Be respectful. Don't knock green rice.
Oh, right.
Learn how to get fit.
That's right.
Know how to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Winona, for your weekly update. It's all appreciative, and it's one of the most popular parts of the show, so I really appreciate you coming on each week.
Oh, thanks for letting me give an update of the vegetables, rice, and solar panels in the North.
Exactly.
But vote. White Earth Tribal members, vote. Okay?
Right on.
Vote.
Everybody vote.
Okay.
Right on.
Yeah, everybody vote. Hey,
Miigwech. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Winona LeDuc. Up next, House Representative Mary Kunish Podein. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we'll have increasing clouds with a high near 80. Tonight's partly cloudy with a low around 61. Tomorrow some storms with a high near 84. Monday sunny with a high near 79. And Tuesday sunny with a high near 82. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is open to limited outdoor and patio seating. They're open for curbside takeout and wine every day from 4 to 10 p.m. View the menu at nightingalempls.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week we have a great update from House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Let's take a listen.
How Mataka Yape. It is State Representative Mary Kunish, and I'm here on Friday, August 14th. Can't believe it. Here it is, halfway through the month of August. School is just a couple weeks around the corner, if we can call it school anymore. But just wanted to bring you a little bit of an update for the week, what's been going on at the state legislature and around the state as I've been able to interact with folks. We had our August special session this past week. We go back every month now in order to vote and extend to the governor the emergency executive orders on COVID-19. And what we have to do as state legislators is every 30 days, we approve the governor's executive orders extending the peacetime emergency. And I know there are folks that have a real issue with the fact that the governor has these executive or emergency powers to make split decisions without necessarily going through the proper legislative steps. But given that we're still in the middle of this pandemic, it makes sense that the governor would continue to have the ability to make those decisions. And not only that, when they have that when he has that kind of peacetime emergency status, it means that Minnesota is eligible for a lot more funding through the federal government. And so we did extend that to the governor. He has those special powers for 30 more days. We'll go back in September, I'm sure, and do it all over again. And hope that he doesn't have to use them to any great extent. Minnesota is one of the 49 states that whose governor has that emergency peacetime power. And so while there are folks that really don't want him to have that kind of power, it is really important at this time that the governor has those kind of powers. But we were able to get a couple good pieces of bills of legislation passed while we were there on Tuesday. One of them was a bill that Representative Hunter Cantrell brought forward, and it was around ensuring that folks that have special needs, especially adults that go to like day centers and have extended care outside of the home, are able to access those fundings that they need during the peacetime emergency. And so there's a funding that's extended, and it will help those locations. Some of them are homes, some of them are centers for folks with disability. This will help them stay open and continue to provide the kind of services that really make a difference in the quality of life for folks with disability. So we are really pleased to be able to do that. And keep your fingers crossed. We're hoping maybe in September we'll get that bonding bill passed. You never know. But I mentioned school. School is just around the corner. And to remind you all, I'm a teacher when I'm not at the state legislature. I'm a library media specialist at Robbinsdale Middle School. And so at the end of the month, I'll be going back. And I'm not sure exactly what we'll be going back to as far as how we will ensure that all of our students have working technology and are able to access the resources that they need. But it is still important for our American Indian families, parents. It's really important that when you register your kids or when you update any of the records for your students, or if you have not identified your student as an American Indian student within the school system, please make sure that you get that done, because there are dollars that follow our American Indian kids, no matter where they are. So there's federal dollars coming, there's state dollars coming, there's a program called American Indian Education Aid. Those dollars are specifically tied to our American Indian kids, and it's supposed to provide extra support systems within the school district. And one of the ways that you can ensure that the students are getting those additional services is to become active on your school's American Indian Parent Advisory Committee. So there's a Minnesota statute. It's section 124D. .78 subdivision 1, and it states that a school district in which there are 10 or more American Indian students enrolled, and each American Indian school then must establish an American Indian Education Parent Advisory Committee. And those committees serve as an advisory role, and they help ensure that our American Indian students are receiving the culturally relevant and the equitable education opportunities that they have been promised. These committees are absolutely critical to the achievement and the success of our American Indian students statewide, and they offer a really incredibly valuable opportunity to strengthen our school districts and build that really strong collaborative relationship between parents and schools. So please ask about that, about the American Indian Parent Advisory Committee within your school and within your school district. It's supposed to be there by law, and the parents are the ones that should be deciding and have a strong voice in the education of our students, because that will drive the cultural and the educational offerings for our kids within the district. And so please be sure that, number one, you are identifying your kid as an American Indian, and number two, that you are participating in your students' education and ensuring that they have the resources necessary by becoming a member of your American Indian Parent Advisory Committee at your school. And if you want more information about that, we do. There is an Indian Education Department within our state. And if you go to education.mn.gov/MDE, or just Google American Indian Parent Advisory Committees or American Indian Education Minnesota, and you'll be able to find all that information. But it's really important that, especially now with this distance learning and this hybrid learning and just not sure what how our kids are going to learn, that you also step up and take take responsibility for your kids' education. And that also means the census. I'm sure you've heard it a bajillion times now, how important it is that we all participate in the census, no matter where you are living. You can only take, you know, give an address for one location. But again, there are dollars that flow from the federal government for our health care, for our education, for so many things within our American Indian community. And if you're not counted in there, that's dollars. That's hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars that our state and our American Indian communities are losing. And so step up, participate in the census, in your kids' education, and of course, November 3rd is elections. We just had the primary this past week, and I'm very excited that Heather Keller up in Moorhead got the primary, won her primary. She's American Indian. And Alan Roy on the other side of the state up north also, well, no, he didn't have a primary, but he's another American Indian guy that's running. There's been a bunch of our folks running for offices. Not all of them made it through the primary process, but they stepped up, they put their necks out there, and they're willing to run for office. You can too. I mean, I did it. Our lieutenant governor did it. All these incredible American Indian folks are realizing that there is power in the vote, and we need your vote in every way. So make sure that you're getting registered and that you're participating in the vote coming up on November 3rd. And I myself have been a state legislator for the last 4 years in District 41. Now I will be running for Senate. So keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully I will be perhaps the first woman of Native blood, Native descent, to be a senator in Minnesota. It's a sad reality that is the way it is. And so that's about all I've got for you today. We're about ready to storm here in beautiful New Brighton, and my dog is hiding away somewhere, so I'm going to have to go find her and get her out for the last minute. But just remember, it's so important to continue masking up. It's still so important that we are social distancing. We haven't gotten this COVID under control yet. And do it for yourself, do it for your family, do it for your loved ones, do it so that we have continuity in the next 7 generations. And I just want to wish you all a great weekend. Have a great week. Everybody take care.
J.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
But welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Each week, wow, we're really, really happy and pleased to have Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota House Representative, on our show. And she's on many shows. And what we've really found out about Ruth Buffalo is how much of a helper she is with other people in their running for office. And so we find out more and more about House Representative Ruth Buffalo each week. So I just want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you for being on. And it's always great to hear your truth, Ruth.
Yeah, G'day, good day, good morning, and Mazda G'day, thank you for having me. It's just always an honor to be here. So, Mazda G'day, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Pini Gigi. Yeah, I was listening to Heather Keeler on another radio show on our station, and she just has nothing but great things to say about you. And what an exciting race here in Minnesota. I know it's across the border, but wow.
Right. It's I'm so proud of her. I know our entire Fargo-Moorhead area is proud of her. She's been a very strong pillar in the community here for all things, you know, especially our youth. She's always been consistently there showing up for our Native youth and encouraging the work that we do to really center youth voices. So I really appreciate her, and I'm a strong supporter of her, and I hope everybody else will continue to support her, because we need women's voices in the state legislature and every level of government, and we need Indigenous representation as well. So we're super happy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just all around Turtle Island, too. I think it was a couple of weeks ago where I think 21 candidates, or was it 13 or some unbelievable number that moved on in their elections in their different states, moved on to the next level. It was crazy. It was 21, wasn't it?
I believe so. I mean, there's new candidates. We're finding out about each day. Even in Wyoming, they have a first-timer running for U.S. House, and she's done extensive work for MMIW, and so it's great to see people taking the leap into this arena, because our voices are needed, you know, in every sector, every level of government. You know, they always say out of sight, out of mind, and mm-hmm. I truly believe that, you know, if we have a presence in a room just by showing up, I think decisions will be made in a better way, hopefully, you know. So super exciting to see all of the candidates across the country, first-timers and returners, you know, like Paulette Jordan. We hope she gets into the U.S. Senate as well. So, and then the U.S. Senate candidate in Alaska. So it's really exciting to see the broad diversity across, you know, Turtle Island with our Indigenous candidates.
Do you find that we have a lot of people that are allies of different colors and white allies? I think it's important, kind of what I was thinking when you were saying that, is that as a politician or somebody that's running for office will speak their truth, and they will, our allies, our people that are on the cusp or are our allies, will realize things that they will hear things that they've never heard before, and then really take pause and really have some information to support us with. So that's part of it too, don't you think, Ruth?
I think so. I think an Indigenous candidate brings a broader perspective that forces others to dig deeper than what's on the surface. You know, many of us are 100th generation North Dakotans. Some might argue 1,000th generation North Dakotan. So we have this inherent connection to the land. And that's something that resonates across the board with all North Dakotans, especially farmers. And so a lot of things kind of go without saying it, that we are the original keepers of this land and protectors of this land. And not only is the land, but the people who live on this land, it's our responsibility to make sure that everybody's kept safe. You know, these are our homelands, so we have that personal responsibility to be good to one another, be a good relative, be a good ancestor.
Yeah, those are really good words, Ruth. One of the things, too, I'd like to just have you touch base on is the voter suppression that's happening through the post office. It's just they're not even hiding it anymore, that they're suppressing the vote. And what is North Dakota doing, good and bad?
There's lots of room for improvement. We know that in towns such as Fargo that have a pretty sound infrastructure, pretty sound built environment that includes the U.S. Postal Services, you know, we have access to public transportation if we need to get somewhere, even if we don't have our own vehicle. There's means to kind of navigate around here, but if you look at areas that are very desolate, tribal rural communities, there's an additional complexity to gaining access to put your ballot in the mail. So we've been in conversations and looking at ballot drop boxes, or, you know, the collection and pickup of ballots, but nothing concrete yet, which is a little nerve-wracking because, you know, the election is right around the corner, so to speak, and so there hasn't been a statewide executive order issued yet by the governor, similar to what was issued in the June primary, where the entire state was given access to mail-in ballot voting. Mm-hmm. It sounds as though locally here in Fargo, we are going to do in-person polling locations, but we are downsizing in a very, I would say, bad way. We have about 38, 36 polling sites, and there recently we heard word from County Auditor's Office that they're moving it down to like 6 polling locations.
What?
Yeah, so even if they use like a huge center such as the Fargo Dome, mm-hmm. it still presents some challenges because it's not the most accessible building. It's in North Fargo, and so we need to, you know, start having these conversations locally. Contact your county auditor's office, your city municipalities, but we know that in the presidential election, our county auditor's offices have a lot of insight to polling and all that good stuff. So I would encourage everybody here, at least I know in North Dakota, to contact your county auditors because there's still a lot of kinks that need to work out, be worked out, you know. So my point is that sometimes people think mail-in voting is the answer, but for our very rural communities, there's some issues there with infrastructure and access. And so ballot drop boxes would be great in especially our very rural tribal communities.
Wow. Well, I hope once we really flip the offices and the presidency that we can really talk about a couple days of voting or taking having a national holiday or something, because this has just gotten, they're not even hiding the fact that they're suppressing the vote. So this has gotten ridiculous.
It is. I mean, in this day and age, you would think that we would have progressed, you know, leaps and bounds from, you know, the early 1950s, and everybody should have access to voting. It should be, you know, second nature to think of voting. It should be a household name topic, kitchen table topic, but we're not there yet. But we just have to keep plugging away. We can't give up. We can't walk away and throw in the towel because, you know, people's lives are depending on this. So.
Right, exactly. And we're going to leave it at that. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And then also just a shout out that Ruth Buffalo is on the Native Symposium Tuesday nights and also has her own show on Facebook Live. And you can soon see it, see them all on iTunes and all your other media, Truth with Ruth, with Ruth Buffalo. And again, Ruth, last week I got a little FOMO because you had 9,000 views and I only had 5,000 on my show. So I'm really got a little FOMO here.
No, it's exciting times, and a lot of the candidates that, it's kind of like the, you know, basketball, I think, with, you know, your players. Yeah. They make the coaches look good. So I think the candidates are the,
right.
What people are wanting to hear from. So, and it's exciting to hear from our candidates and the great work that they're doing, especially during a pandemic. You know, I feel like that completely adds an additional thick layer of complexity to an already challenging field or task that they're taking on and running for office as Indigenous people.
Yes, exactly. And Pinigigi, for all the hard work you do, which I am coming more and more every day to believe. And plus you have your family, your husband to take care of and just to keep everything going. You're just amazing. And I really appreciate your input each week and all these shows and your show.
Mazakitas, we all, you know, appreciate you, Robert, and your family, you know, for all the work you're doing to help amplify the voices, you know, that oftentimes get left behind, left out, or not included. So we just want to say Mazakitas. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was House Representative of North Dakota, Ruth Buffalo. Up next, Hour 2.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name is Jackie, and I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to the AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, great. Hey, tell our audience a little bit about yourself. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahare, Inda Inga. How about you there, Forrest? Tell us a little bit about yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Minnesota doesn't really know this, but Ho-Chunks and have been here for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, yeah, Forrest Funmaker, this is kind of the odd part, but I was born in British Columbia.
Whoa.
So my dad and my grandfather, Ichoka Jim, they're from this area down in Wisconsin by Black River Falls. So they got huge roots down this way. And, you know, I was mostly raised in Minneapolis myself. So really great to be on Native Roots Radio today.
Right on. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. I remember we were down in the office and you showed me a map of where Ho-Chunk were, and we were all over. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know we were in Minnesota, we were in Illinois, you showed me Iowa too. Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, historically, we've been talking about the Red Banks as being the original spot that the Ho-Chunks came from. But in talking with our traditional court, which houses the clan members who are the hunks, the chiefs of each one of those, they get a chance to weigh in. And they discuss some history with me, and we wanted to come up with an idea for a map. And that was the one that you seen for the Constitution Reform Task Force for the Ho-Chunk Nation. And I was really surprised that we were in Canada. We did have some stuff over Michigan, as well as going from Wisconsin to Minnesota and then down to Nebraska, South Dakota. And so all these places have actual Ho-Chunk names to them, and that was one of the parts. But the unique part is that the DNR guy that we had was talking about how many of these places where the U.S. government has kind of removed us from. I think there was about 7 military removals of the Ho-Chunk people from different areas. They ended up taking us to different places, and we came back to our homelands here. And the basic reason is that we don't leave our dead, and we wanted to take care of, we have a special connection in that way, so that's what we do to take care of our own people in the kind of like from a spiritual point of view. But yeah, it's a huge area that we roamed, and you know, I just wanted to come across to your audience today to let them know that I remember Wapumaka Day, which was down Blackhawk. He had a big future. Yes, Lord. He had a big future to what the Minnesota Ho-Chunk groups were all about. So, and then we ended up getting a branch office up there later on. So that was pretty cool to see how that all ended up. But yeah, all the rivers, the landscape on that particular map is called the Moda Jay map. And it's been recognized by the Ho-Chunk Nation Court. So we want to make sure that we follow up from the nation's perspective to start getting this recognition in each one of the states that we do have. So Iowa and Minnesota, we want to make sure that we get that recognition.
Well, we don't have a story about in Ho-Chunk, a story about going one place to the other like maybe the Ojibwe do. And also, one of the things I want to ask you, Forrest, too, is I don't think there's a dispute, but I just don't think people know that Blue Earth is still full of Ho-Chunks there in our relatives in Blue Earth, Minnesota. And Minnesota is called Blue Earth in Ho-Chunk.
Right. Right. So yeah, we just wanted to acknowledge those landings that took place. place of where we were taken. I know that that one article that you shared with me, which was Knights of the Forest, that was covered in City Pages and all of that. I mean, all of that has some unique history to it. I remember there was another one that was done in relation to the bodies that were taken after 1862 up to Fort Snelling, and some of the people that were marched up there were Lakota, Dakota, and Ho-Chunk. And when they passed away, they took their bodies to where the Mall of America is now.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything we do to ourselves. All is one, Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Wendy also does this very important segment each week, and we talk about our sacred animals. Tell us your name, Wendy, and thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Wakunjahade. My name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So as always, every week, thank you, Curtis. Robert, I'm really going to be talking today about the woman who got attacked by the bison.
Okay. We've talked about it a little bit in the show. This is awesome.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, here's the thing. The sheriff... the Custer County Sheriff, Marty McCainley, reiterated that visitors should keep their distance from bison in the park. The sheriff's Facebook page even issued this warning on August 7th. So what happened, they have these big signs all around, these yellow bright signs, and it says, do not pet the fluffy cows. And there's pictures, like a picture of a buffalo on it. And this is exactly what the sheriff said. Well, it's that time of year again. We would like to remind everyone not to pet the fluffy cows, also known as bison slash buffalo. We have had calls about the fluffy cows blocking the road occasionally. Some people are also getting too close. And I love that he says this. Listen to this. Remember, this is their park and we are the guests. Please give them a break and keep your distance. Thank you. So, but what I want to say is after reading this article and watching the video of this poor woman getting, you know, thrown around by this bison, that I'm not sure I wouldn't have been her because I kind of like, you know, I love animals, right? And if I saw a really small bison, you know, a baby calf, I would have been inclined to go up and pet it or take a picture of it, not realizing that, you know, one of the bigger cows, which they're called, would have came and, like, kicked my butt for doing that. I don't know, Robert.
Bears are another one that you don't want to be, you know.
I know.
Mother bears will, you know.
Exactly. So there's this article. It's called Coda Territory TV. And it's the article by Brianna Schruers. And it was just, you know, published a couple of days ago, Custer State Park, South Dakota, Coda, an adult bison charged a motorcycle passenger after approaching a calf on Wednesday. This happened near mile marker 40 on Iron Mountain Road in Custer State Park. At 6:39 p.m., park officials, along with the Custer County Sheriff, reported the 54-year-old woman from Iowa, neared the calf. Witnesses say As she did this, an adult bison charged her, catching her belt and jeans with its horn. Mm-hmm. Now, thank goodness she was wearing a belt, because if she wasn't, I think she would have been gorged.
Mm.
The bison ran off with her, tossing the woman on her head. She fell to the ground unconscious. Reports say she was saved when her pants came off. When the woman hit the ground, the bison returned to its herd. So I think the bison was just like giving her a warning, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't out to like kill her or murder her. Black Hills Life Flight transported the woman. So she had to be airlifted from this area. The Custer Ambulance also responded to the scene. She is said to have serious injuries. Now, I'm really hoping that she's okay and she's recovering. And, you know, people are learning their lesson that, you know, we can't be messing around with these animals. But again, I think that I might have been one of those people. And, you know, I would have been in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Now, our own Ogama, Emma Meehan, she posted this on Facebook. It was somebody else's post, but it's buffalo petting tips, right?
Yeah, I posted that.
Now, I didn't do a fact check, so honestly, I don't know if they're real or not, but they sound reasonable.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so number one, they could run as fast as 35 to 40 miles an hour. I had no idea.
Mm.
They have horns for a reason, right? Both male and female have horns.
Mm-hmm.
If their tail points straight up, run. That means that they're ready to bolt.
Whoa.
Now, again, I don't know if these are true.
They're mad.
Dropping to the ground and playing dead? Well, that
sometimes
works, right? And that's a truth or dare. Buffalo can jump a high fence. Now, I didn't think that they would be able to do that because they're so big and they're heavy. The male bulls will protect their young and the herd.
There you go.
So it was probably a male bull that, you know, went after her. Mm-hmm. So if they form a protective circle, then guess what?
What?
It's time to run.
Yeah.
Time to run. Buffalo weigh between 1,000 and 2,000 pounds.
Wow.
That's really something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most cell phone cameras have a zoom.
Yeah.
So use it.
Right. Exactly.
And waving red capes, they may or may not charge.
Mm.
They don't really know. Again, another truth or dare situation.
Jeez.
Pet at your own risk. Have a good day tips. And this is Hi from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if those are true or not, but they're kind of funny. And I don't really want to make
light
of the situation, because she did really get hurt. And again, I could have been that person. But
right.
What else in the news, Robert? I have an article here that a bald eagle attacks a state $950 drone.
Yeah.
Did you read about that?
Yes.
Okay. And
I saw the pictures, too.
Did you?
Well, it was an injured, I think he was trying to protect himself. I heard it was a young, injured, what kind of eagle?
I don't know.
It was a not a red-tailed hawk, but...
the article that I have here is it's a bald eagle. Escanaba, Michigan. In what state officials are describing is a tongue-in-cheek as a brazen attack, a bald eagle recently snatched a $950 drone belonging to the state of Michigan that was being flown to document the shoreline erosion damage in the Upper Peninsula. After a brief tussle, the big bird ripped off one of the propellers from the small spinning aircraft and sent it to the bottom of Lake Michigan, a state worker said. So here again, you know what? We're in the space of animals, where they live, where they breed, where they're having their families, and we're in their way. Hey, you know what? The drone.
The drone lost.
Yeah,
I've seen video of that before. Yeah. Well, I think I had the stories mixed up. I'm sorry about that. I think there was a story about that up north.
Yeah, there might have been. Yeah. No, that's fine. But yeah, so we need to stay out of the space of animals. I remember there's a picture of this deer, and it's standing in a forest on a blacktop road. And the caption in it of the picture said, the deer is crossing the road. And then it said, well, it doesn't look like that to me. It looks like the road is
crossing
the forest.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the whole issue today, that we need to stay out of wild animals' way. We just need to leave them alone. There's a coyote that lives up here by our house on Mississippi River Boulevard, up by the Ford plant over in that area. Yep. And she has her cubs there. She has a small den, like right off the walking path.
Yep.
And there's been so many incidents where people are walking their dogs and she's coming out to scare them away. She's
right.
not attacking anybody. So we just need to, you know, be careful, stay out of the way of animals. And I will be reminded not to pet a buffalo calf, because I would be inclined to do that. And I could have been that woman.
Wow.
Yeah, would you have come to my rescue, Robert?
I would have told you not to go, especially after seeing this video and being wide awake about it, because it was like, it was shocking, but it was also, once you think about it, and a weird thing, I'll end with this one, is that the national news, it's like this bison attacked this, you know, and that was the big buzz. It was
exactly.
Instead of the other way around, where this bison was protecting their young
exactly.
cat.
Exactly. That's right.
So be careful how you read all these, not you, but everybody
right.
reads all these headlines.
Exactly.
You know? And you know better, because you're from New York and you grew up with the New York Post, so that's... It's like,
well, that's
you go.
What would have had. The that's headlines would have said that. But honestly, if you look at the video, she was whipped around like a rag doll and just thrown to the ground. But then as soon as she got to the ground, he walked away, went back into the herd. So
must have just wanted those jeans. I don't know.
It was a warning, right?
Yeah, okay.
But the poor woman, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
let's not make light of it, even though I have all show. No, I'm just kidding. Wen, thank you so much, Peenigi, for what you do and with our sacred animals and what you bring to the show each week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Wendy Pilot. We'll be right back after this short break.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium, we're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We have Red Dawn, who's South Dakota State Senator, on Native Roots Radio, and we're always pleased when she can stop by and give us a few good words of what's going on in South Dakota and what's going on in Turtle Island and in the political scene, and also what she's just doing. So it's really good to just touch base with you, Red Dawn. Welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Wonderful to be here.
Cool. So we've had a lot of elections here in Minnesota, and we're proud. We have three people we've been talking about during the show that moved on to the next phase, three Native Americans, three women, as a matter of fact, which is awesome. And it's also really important to not only vote, but do the census, but also vote for Natives and have Native people run for office, too. And I know you have a few words about some people that you're supporting around Turtle Island.
Yes, thank you. And I'll remind everybody, there's 80 days until the next election on November 3rd. So it's really important to, one, find out who your candidates are, and not just in your local area, but who you can support. I recently endorsed Rudy Soto for Idaho, for Congress in Idaho. So I'm excited about that. He's just an amazing young man. He comes with, just a lot of ethics, integrity, and he's very inspirational. So it's really great to see him out there. And, you know, we say that he's not just good for Idaho or Indian country, but just the perspective and world view that he brings and just the ethics, integrity. And you know, Washington really needs that right now. Yeah. So he's good for pretty much the whole world, you know, not just the nation, but it's great to see Native stepping up. I was really excited to see what was happening, the election in Minnesota. And I'd also like to mention the great stuff that we saw in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like, Christina Hasselwood, Danae, 26 years old. She'll be the youngest, state legislator in that district. And she's presumptive because I believe she's running unopposed. So she's presumed to be the candidate. And so that's exciting, you know, because she has a public health background. So to be able to bring just our experiences that we have as individuals, but the worldview and ethics integrity to government, be it the state or the U.S. level, is exciting to see that. And it's also inspiration to other Natives, because I'm starting on my campaign trail and going into the community, and that's the best thing that I love about running is being able to meet and connect with just such a, everybody in our district. And it's different this time because if you, we're social distancing, you know, you have that mask and we're adhering to all those, but just being able to make that same type of connection. So I'm doing a lot more on Zoom and in living in this virtual space that, you know, I haven't really navigated to the extent that I am now. So it's a very interesting time. But talking about that social distancing, we just wrapped up in South Dakota, Sturgis, and there was a lot of concern. So we were deterring bikers saying, you know, that the reservations are not open for pass-through. So there was a little bit of pushback, but for the most part, I think that they were redirected prior to coming into South Dakota. So that was good. But many people saw, people don't understand, our buffalo, Tatankas, they're not domesticated. They are wild animals. And you saw, you know, a lot of people from out of state coming and thinking that they could maybe pet our buffalo. And
or a selfie.
That definitely didn't happen. Do a selfie. And yeah, and so many saw a woman when the female buffalo who had a calf, when she came up, got hooked onto the belt loop and then was thrown, and actually her pants were ripped off. So it's very, very important to realize that, you know, this is their homeland, their land. And as humans, we're encroaching on their territory. So be very respectful and mindful that, you know, they are wild animals. They are going to, they're great, amazing animals, but they're going to protect their young. And so I think that, you know, people are really concerned of saying, you know, like the buffalo are getting out of control. And
Around.
That was interesting, and and it was at a time where we're looking at kids are coming. This is the month that kids return to school, and so what does that look like? And we've had one of the things that this pandemic has done is it's really brought to light the inequities, but then also the communities pulled together and started addressing things that we may have been concerned about before, but now just everyone pulling together saying, not only do we need to keep our children safe, but what type of education are they getting? What type of curriculum are they getting? And so you see grassroots with just parents and organizations in, we have the Ogallala Lakota County School stepping up, offering online curriculum, and it will be more based towards what's important to us and the history and education that really will help us thrive. And they're looking at incorporating like just a lot more nutrition, looking at farming. And so it's really great to see, you know, in times of crisis and people coming together and building something that we may not have been able to build outside of the current circumstances. So there's going to be a lot that comes out of this once, you know, but we just have to survive through it.
So we have to get ready to vote. Well, I guess it's like wear your mask, take the census, vote, and don't pet the buffalo is our main mission to tell everyone, I think.
yes, that's great. Absolutely. And you know, the voting, we're still trying to figure out what the voting was. Voting will look like. I think everybody is now aware that there's funding issues with the United States Postal
That's a nice way to put it. But 45 has definitely said that he's trying to suppress the vote. So I mean, they're not even hiding it right now. So we need to really help our elders and people that need to get out and vote. And we have to figure this out, don't we?
Yes, we absolutely do. And mail-in ballots, going in and requesting mail-in ballots, filling that out. We see a lot of cross-generational, again, there's always kind of that silver lining in these hardships. And just, we see, you know, grandmas working with their younger, the younger generation of how do we use this technology to make sure our voice is heard. And then they're also, you know, the younger generation who may not even be old enough to vote yet is learning the importance of voting and everything that goes along with that and having our own representation. And so it's, you know, there's going to be through these barriers and hardships. I think that there's a lot of awareness that's coming out and you see people again, reaching out and trying to assist each other, but mail-in ballots, requesting absentee ballots and going through that process, and then seeing, even just simply like putting something on Facebook saying, I need help. People are really ready to help and look at that. So,
yeah, wow. Great words.
So, well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on. This is South Dakota State Senator Red Dawn. We're just always pleased to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, and have a great day.
Peeny Gigi. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Peeny Gee, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we'll have increasing clouds, with a high near 80. Tonight's partly cloudy, with a low around 61. Tomorrow some storms, with a high near 84. Monday sunny, with a high near 79. And Tuesday sunny, with a high near 82. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is open to limited outdoor and patio seating. They're open for curbside takeout and wine every day from 4 to 10 p.m. View the menu at nightingalempls.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, each week we touch base with Nancy Bolio of Minnesota Rise and MN350 and also producer of Rock the Vote Native Style here on AM950. Welcome, Nancy.
Well, good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. And I am Nancy Bolio, the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350, and I lead the Bemidji 350 team. And I am feeling good today, Robert, because, you know, we had a good outcome for our primaries, and we had a couple upsets, but I think if we encourage more people to get out and rock that vote, I think we got some good people that are going to be at the table and bring our voices where they need to be, you know, because we got to remind ourselves we're on the home lines here, and we should be a part of that decision-making process. And so I want to thank all the candidates, win or lose, that were courageous enough to get out there and campaign as hard as they did, you know, and it takes a lot of energy. I worked three hard days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I felt like I had a primary hangover. I couldn't imagine what the candidates, you know, felt like afterwards. It must have been a grueling, you know, sacrifice, and a good sacrifice. And again, we had some really, really good victories, and even some of our non-Native allies that along with us had some victories. So I feel that we are starting to show up in a good way and holding office and showing up, Robert, and I appreciate that. I want to give a big shout out to all the people that volunteered on the phone bank, that showed up on the streets with signs of suspense. We overlook our volunteers, you know, one of the things that's where the hard work comes from is the volunteers coming forth in these elections. So a big shout out to all the volunteers that were out there.
Exactly. Our work is just beginning, though, too. I know that today we're having a MN350's having a gathering in front of the governor's mansion, speaking on behalf of No Line 3.
Right. And I got a little something that I want to read. A recent decision by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission to approve permits necessary for the construction of Line 3 pipeline been another hurdle for the climate movement. The construction of this pipeline, which would transport crude oil from Canada across Minnesota, would significantly harm the health of the climate, land, and the people of Minnesota. Environmental and Native groups, the Sierra Club, youth climate interveners, Friends of the Headwaters, Honor the Earth, and the Lac, Red Lake, and Water Sands of the Ojibwe are suing the PUC to appeal these permits and stop the construction of the pipeline. Our past efforts have delayed construction of Line 3 for years. The previous lawsuits against the permit, we have been joined by the Minnesota Department of Commerce, whose support is critical to our movement and helps us make a strong legal challenge against the permit. However, this time around, the DOC has yet to file an appeal, and the time is running out. The deadline for the appeal is August 19th, so we need Governor Walz and the Department of Commerce to refile those appeals because water is life, and we know we need to move to a greener future. So I'm encouraging all of our listeners to give Governor Walz a phone call at 651-201-3400 and have those phones ringing off the hook on Monday and Tuesday. And make sure that he understands that, you know, there's treaties to honor because we see Line 5 that the federal judge has allowed tribes to use their treaties to help protect all that is sacred. And I think we need to do that here as well in Minnesota because the water flows in all directions. And I think all parts of the water should be protected. So Governor Walz needs to step up and do what's right by treaty obligations.
That's right. Good words, Nancy. Thank you so much for being on. Do you have anything else real quick?
Well, real quick, like I just want to remind people that there's still a lot of work to do to support our Native candidates. So you can either, you know, phone bank for them, donate money, just get out and do some, you know, speaking with your friends and relatives, neighbors, and remind them that this election is very important to us and the allies, too, as well, that, you know, that's us. They need our support when they're running for office because We also still need our colleges. We're in this together, Robert.
That's right. Pini Gigi for all you do, and we'll see you Tuesday on Rock the Boat Native Style. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. I'm always honored, and Wendy talks about it too in the second hour, about how honored she is to have her name and the person that gave us our name is our Daga here, our Choka of our family. Each week we have Uncle Curtis on, and he gives us our weekly updates of events and such. Which, welcome, Uncle Curtis, and tell us your name.
Aho, Pina Gigi Chushke. My name is Mashke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud, and my calling on his taxpayer name is Curtis West. And I always got to say hello to my baby girl, my beautiful wife, Kim. And I got to say that every week because she tells me to. And so, you know, but anyway, I want to say ho to my family. I want to say ho to my family and relatives and friends in Four Directions. We pray all is well. You know, what we like to say is stay safe, mask up, social distance, you know, with this pandemic going on. So I don't tell you that, but I just like to give a little reminder, you know. So anyway, my Chushke here lets me cut loose on a few things, and I really appreciate that, Chushke. I do some birthdays, some shout-outs, some events, and there isn't too many events with this pandemic coming down, but Chushke's got a few, and I got a couple, too. So I'm going to start off with birthdays. We got a little relative down in New Mexico. She's going to start her first grade, so we're going to say happy birthday to Isabella down in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say happy birthday to a friend and relative of ours, too, is Lynn Rice. Happy
yes.
birthday to Lynn. And we got this friend I used to hoop with a long time ago when I was a legend. But His name is Sherman Leith. He's up north somewhere. But happy birthday, Sherman. He checks in on us too here. I hope I don't mess his last name up, but I want to wish Monica Rudy a very happy birthday too, you know. And we got another one that's a good listener to Native Roots Radio. His name's Leo Gunner Baker. So we're going to say happy birthday to Leo. Yeah. You know, like I always say too, much love to our elders, you know, and, I always say too, there's pandemic on right now. It would be real nice to, you got to social distance, but there's, your elders are only a phone call away, give them a call and see if they need any groceries, something to drink or, anything they need, just check in on your elders, please. Mm-hmm. So we're going to say happy birthday to these elders. I'm going to start off with, Carla Greengrass, mm-hmm. Leslie Brown, Joyce Funmaker, Joseph White Jr., and Jeanette DeCora. I'm going to say happy birthday and many more blessed ones to you elders, okay, Pino? Like I said, I want to get some shout-outs here, too. And this one right here, I'm gonna give a shout-out to my Tuesday's mom, my Nunu Jan, and her husband Ken, their anniversary. I don't know how long they've been together, but I think it's been like over a century. I'm not sure, though, but they've been together forever, I don't want to say how old my sister is, but I think they've been close to a century together, but happy anniversary, Nuno and Kenny.
And they've been together 100 years?
Yeah, about 100, together for 100, but married for about 70, I believe. Oh,
okay.
We want to say a Pinagigi, a shout-out to the Ho-Chunk Nation again for that farm the family food giveaway and stuff like that. And man, I really appreciate what the Ho-Chunk Nation. There's a lot of people that are real grateful for that, and they have, comments and stuff like that. So Pinagigi Ho-Chunk Nation. And mm-hmm. I want to give another shout out to all the supporters of Native Roots Radio. I get people talking to me that I don't even know, even Micah Days, and they listen to that show, Native Roots Radio. So I'm going to say thank you to all that, I want to give a shout out to all the frontliners again during this pandemic. I got to say it over and over to all the doctors and nurses and everybody, that it's a dangerous job, but they're staying with it, And we got to give a shout out to, Wabu's, Jerry Ogunash, for his support. And, he's got us a whole bunch of listeners from, his neck of the woods up in Red Lake. So really appreciate that, Jerry, so thank you. And, Pinagigi and Miigwech, and we're going to say that much to you, man. And I want to give another shout out to, and I always got it, it's always on my mind, I'm so proud to be a Funkchief, and I always got to say hello and haho to American Indian Movement. I like to say that to Frank and Clyde, stuff like that. Made me, I had a tough time, back in the day, it was kind of hard being an Indian back then, now I'm very proud of American Indian Movement, so I'll say thank you. And I want to say something too. I want to give a shout out to my brother Carson, my Haga. He's putting some artwork together. He's got he's a very talented artist, a Native American artist, and he's gonna ship up to me four paintings. And we're going to kind of auction them off or raffle them off for a fundraiser for the radio show. So I want to say Pinagigi to you, Carson, Yeah, so we want to do that, man. So he's going to, and he's, like I said, he's a real talented artist. All you got to do is go on his site and look at his artwork, and he's the real deal. So I want to say Pinagigi,
yes.
Carson.
Yes.
And I want to say haho again to Hutch. He's working his tail off, So I want to say Hutch to him and his crew over there. They got their hands full, but. Thank you there, Chushke Hutch. And I want to say this on the events right now. I'm gonna let Chushke go ahead on with the events right now, what he's got for us.
Hey, good words. Also, I just want to throw out today, Saturday, at 4 p.m. up at the Governor's Mansion on Summit Avenue in St. Paul. I'll be up there speaking in regards to Line 3, and we're going to have a rally up there. The governor needs to to get rid of that certificate of need, and we need to put Minnesota back to work in a new Green Deal and not no more pipelines. So excited to go up there. MN350 is putting on that rally. And also, thank you, Curtis. Uncle Curtis mentioned this earlier, the Patreon, Native Roots Radio Network. We're just getting so much help, and we appreciate it because our clientele has been out of business. We always have small businesses supporting us, so it's been rough for them to support us. So we appreciate all you people out there listening to us and watching us on Facebook Live to support us. And then we got Rock the Vote Native Style, which is a show on Tuesdays, 2 p.m., Pilots Progressive Party. We have the symposium Tuesday nights. We have Native Americans all over Turtle Island. And this week we're doing a special with the Women of Wounded Knee, 1973. We're going to have some along with the regular guests and Pilots Progressive Party and Truth with Ruth. We're just doing a lot of programming here through Native Roots Radio Network to get the Native voice out, Uncle Curtis.
Oh, man, that's a busy schedule there, Tuesday. But you're getting that news out, though. We appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Hey, and another thing, Uncle Curtis, before you give us your gaga or your Native truth, is remember, don't pet the bison. Just remember that. Don't pet the bison or no selfies, right?
Hey, we got a couple more events before I get into that gaga, okay?
Good one.
I got Friday, Farm to Family again up here at the regional branch office in St. Paul. Starts at 10 and goes till it's gone. They said it was really lucky to get there early because it goes fast. And here's another one that Augie wanted me to pass on to. It's another Midtown Farmers Market on Minnehaha and Lake every Saturday, and it starts in the morning every Saturday. And then they said, keep your eye open for Four Sisters Farmers Market. They don't know if they're going to be open on Thursday, but just you can roll by if they're there. But just keep an eye out for that, all right?
Yeah, exactly. And do you have a Native wisdom or a gaga, Uncle Curtis?
Yeah, I got a gaga. That's my grandma. And she told me this. She said, trusting Creator is wisdom. Knowing Creator is peace. Loving Creator is strength. Faith in Creator is courage.
Wow, heavy, great words. Pini Gigi for all you do for our family and all around Turtle Island and what you do for our radio show, Uncle Curtis. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.